Protests swept Haiti last evening when thousands of people took to the streets to rally against what they believed was widespread fraud in the day's presidential race, including pre-stuffed ballots and thousands missing from voter rolls. Jacqueline Charles and Trenton Daniel, reporting from Port-au-Prince for the Miami Herald, say that voting bureaus were trashed and set on fire. International elections monitors withdrew in the middle of the voting and some precincts closed due to sporadic violence. The nation appeared headed for a political crisis as supporters of opposition candidates, several of them, poured into the streets in major cities throughout the country, asking for the presidential and legislative elections to be voided. But the embattled Provisional Electoral Council said only 3.56%, or 56, of the 1,500 voting centers had problems and that the results would for now be recognized. So, what happened yesterday? Where do we go from here? We're joined now by Ezelie Dantor, who is the president of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. She joins us by telephone. Good afternoon, Ms. Ezelie Dantor.
Good afternoon, you. Good afternoon. Thank you.
Okay, and also with us in studio, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Mr. Roger Leduc, a well-known community activist and broadcaster in the Haitian community. Good afternoon, Mr. Leduc.
Good afternoon, you. Good afternoon, Ezelie.
Good afternoon.
Okay, Ms. Dantor, let's start with what happened yesterday. Nobody had high hopes for yesterday's election, but it turned out to be what in the end?
A complete disaster. By, as you said, you know, by 12 o'clock, more than a third of the 13 out of the 18 candidates were asking for an annulment. There were so many, there was confusion. Obviously, the voter rolls are inflated because of the earthquake. 300,000 people died. Many of them are still in the voter rolls. And those who are not, who went to vote, many, many found that their names were not on the various polling places that they went to. So there was just complete logistic disorganization, mismanagement. On the ground, we had people who were part of certain political parties who were supposed to be moderators or observers. Each political party had a moderator or observer that was allowed to be inside the polling place. Many of the ones we spoke to yesterday told us they went at their appointed time, at the appointed place. They had their information. They had their once they got there, they were told that there were others from their party that was already inside, so they couldn't go in. And a lot of them felt that the President Préval's heir apparent, the candidate that his ruling party is supporting, were being given an...
Who's that? Is that Jude Celestin?
Jude Celestin. Yes, and there was lots and lots of report, and many of the international media saw ballot stuffing and so forth. I'll give you just one example in terms of all of this. Sean Penn's camp, which has about 55,000 people in it, had only one polling place. And at that one polling place, there were listed only 724 people. So the other, you know, 55,000 people live in this place. They were told to go back to their old neighborhoods where the house had crumbled, whatever remained, and find their polling places there. So yesterday, throughout the day, you had Haitians walking around trying to find polling places, those that had IDs, and many of them stood in line. For instance, there were places where they could see their names on the outside of the rolls, but then when they got inside, they were told that the inside list didn't match what they saw outside, so they were not able to vote. So you had all of this frustration. You had this allegation of ballot stuffing. I mean, the Haitian Lawyers Leadership came out before the election because we had folks on the ground saying that many people did not get their registration IDs. Many people didn't know where their voting places were. Obviously, everyone knows that we have a public health crisis in Haiti. And we said that there's the banning of the Famille Valas, which is one of the most popular party in Haiti, and 14 other parties were banned. So we said at the beginning, this will not be free and fair. But what we didn't anticipate was the level of disorganization, because the OAS, who is supporting this with the UN and the UN troops, basically said they were ready for this. Obviously, they were not ready. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to be taking some questions for you both on this, and our number 212-209-2900. We're talking about yesterday's election in Haiti, abortive election in Haiti, the electoral debacle in Haiti. I'm not sure yet what the settled language is going to be. On the telephone with us, Ezili Dantor, who is the president of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network, and in studio with us, well-known Haitian community advocate and broadcaster Roger Leduc. Mr. Leduc, what happens next? Does the Electoral Council even have the legal authority, as far as you know, to declare the election null and void?
The legal authority of the Electoral Council was in question from the beginning. And I'm talking about the beginning. I'm talking about months ago. Because according to Haitian law, there should have been a permanent electoral council, not a provisional electoral council at this point. The provisional electoral council was supposed to run one election and then be replaced by a permanent one. So in terms of legality, they weren't supposed to be even running this election. That's one question. People have been talking for a long time about the inability of this council and Mr. Préval to run an election. Not run really an election, run a fair election. Mm-hmm. And what happened yesterday was vindication for all those people who've been saying they cannot run an election. And vis-a-vis those people, you had the international community. And I'm talking about, when we talk about international community in Haiti, we're talking about United States, of course, mm-hmm. and behind them France and Canada, and then the rest. And then you have OAS and the United Nations, which has MINUSTAH, which is the force, the stabilizing force, so-called, in Haiti. Mm-hmm. So all these people say there is no reason why the Provisional Council shouldn't be able to run a good election. But the motivation is, we can understand it through that word stabilization. They want a stabilized Haiti so that the project of reconstruction and the project, the political project and economic project that they have for Haiti can be sustained, and that so that there is a continuity. Mm-hmm. They want to establish a continuity in the political power, so that there is a continuity in the project to rebuild Haiti. So this is what crashed yesterday. What crashed yesterday was these projects. Mm-hmm. So what happened is, I'm trying to give the audience as much of a political background as I can. What happened in the last few years is that the so-called international community have really invested a lot in Mr. Préval. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Préval has been able to build a structure, a power, so that he pretty much handcuffed the political class of Haiti and make them do whatever he wanted. So that that means that in last April, he was able to run legislative elections in which the Famille Lavalas, the most popular party in Haiti, and this is not an endorsement, mm-hmm. the most popular party in Haiti was taken out of the election. And the same thing happened again in this election. So you had this to really show what was going to happen in this election. Last time, all these other political parties and candidates that we see protesting yesterday against the massive fraud, the way they characterize it, mm-hmm. they did not do much protest when they excluded the Famille Lavalas from the election. So okay. In a sense, Mr. Préval, felt his power growing, and he let his power express itself by manipulating these elections. And people have seen what they've seen yesterday.
Okay, let's pause there. We're going to take some questions for Roger Leduc and Isalie Dantor. Our telephone number 212-209-2900 on yesterday's electoral debacle in Haiti. And where do we go from here? 212-209-2900. Quick question, Ms. Dantor. Do you believe that a particular candidate yesterday is being favored by the Electoral Council or the political establishment in Haiti? I've heard, for example, Jude Celestin mention, I believe he's the brother-in-law, the son-in-law of President Préval. I've heard Mirlande Manigat, who used to be a first lady, spoken of, and Sweet Mickey, I've heard his name mentioned. Do you get the sense that any one of these or someone else is favored by the political establishment?
Yes, we say, well, actually, I don't have to say I do. The 13 presidential candidates that called the press conference yesterday were united and denouncing President Préval's heir apparent, Jude Celestin, and saying that they felt that the chaos and the fraud was benefiting Jude Celestin. Most of those candidates, top candidates, and this would include Mirlande Maniga, who is a former first lady. She's 70 years old. She's been in Haitian politics for a long time, and she was considered by certain polls to be pretty much, I would say, the top four that I am hearing on the ground in terms of these farcical elections would be. First, the Jude Celestin person, who's the heir apparent of Préval, the ruling party. Then, there's Mirlande Maniga, there's Sweet Mickey, which is Michel Martelly, and then I've heard the name of Jean-Henri Seyant, and then Charles Henry Baker. Mm-hmm. As of yesterday, the top presidential candidates, what they were asking for. When they asked for the annulment, they asked for the annulment of the election, they asked for a resignation of President Préval, they asked for a provisional government to take over and schedule new and free elections within 90 days pursuant to Article 149 of the Haitian Constitution, and they asked for their voters and constituents to mobilize and demonstrate against these elections. Now, what has happened is that at the same time, the UN Edmond Mulet, who is the head of the minister, troops in Haiti came out and he said everything was going well, that there was not significant fraud. So far, we haven't heard exactly what the OS is saying, but we know that the U.S. ambassador, the UN, Préval's government, and the Electoral Council are standing by the results from yesterday. They say we'll count. At least that's what the CEP, the council, has said, and the Préval government has said. They said they will count, and that these. So whatever results they're gonna come out with, they're gonna come out with it on December 7th, and if there's if no one has gotten more than 50% of the vote, there's gonna be a runoff scheduled for the 16th. The speculation on the ground from people that we've been speaking to, from our folks, with regard to these elections, is that the front runners are Michel Martelly, Sweet Mickey. Mirlande Maniga, who's the former first lady, either one of those two is vying for the two runoff spots. That's the speculation. Others say that the two runoff spots, if this farcical election goes forward, will be Jude Celestin, the ruling party's candidate, and Charles Henry Baker, the Haiti oligarchy man, who are also contenders for the two runoff spots. Mm-hmm. There's even rumors that Préval is negotiating to go into exile. I mean, there's all sorts of things at the moment. There's complete chaos, which it should have been expected by the international community running and forcing mm-hmm. this election on Haitians when we have people dying of cholera. And in our opinion, I think it was $29.6 million that was used by the international community for these elections. That money could have been used to put down some clean water for these cholera victims. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to hold that there, Mr. LeDuc. The Haitian diaspora, the Haitian community here, I know that many of these candidates actually campaigned here in New York, in Boston, and in, of course, in Miami, and in locations where there's a very large Haitian constituency. How is the Haitian community here responding to what happened yesterday? What leverage does the community here have, if any? Your response to that, and then we go directly to questions from listeners.
Okay, the leverage they have is really financial, because the candidates come here to see if they can get some money to support their campaign, because the way the Provisional Council ran the election, the diaspora had no say in terms of votes. Two candidates that were to represent the diaspora, I'm talking about Dr. Dalmasi and the more famous Wyclef Jean, they were put aside. Mm-hmm. Michel Martelly, you could thank Sweet Mickey. Sometimes he's considered being a diaspora, but legally he's been a resident of Haiti. So the question is really moot for him. I think what people should pay attention to in terms of the results is the ad hoc coalition that was set up yesterday between those 12 or 13 candidates who said that the elections has to be annulled. Can it stay? Will Préval be able to split them by promising each one something that they were the ones winning anyway? So why stay with the losing coalition? And it seems that Sweet Mickey today came out and made a statement that showed that maybe somebody talked to him, and he said that he heard that he may have been one of the front runners. Mm. So as long as the CEP does the right thing by voting by counting right, you know, he doesn't know what he's going to do. So you see, if there is a split, you know, Préval may still prevail. So this is something people have to watch, the political side of this. If those people were to stay together for the next few days and put their troops on the streets peacefully and protest Préval's presidency along with the CEP, things might change in Haiti. Very, very deeply in terms of these elections.
Okay, now we've got a full board, as you can well imagine. So we're going to take some questions. We're going to ask our callers to be very concise in their questions. And, of course, I'm going to ask you both as well to be concise in your responses so we can get to as many of our listeners as time would permit. We're talking with Roger LeDuc, Haitian community activist and broadcaster. And also with us is Elie Dantor, who is the president of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. Our number 212-209-2900. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. First of all, let me salute all my Haitian brothers and sisters who have been so far very patient with the system that is killing the Haitian people softly. First of all, before I started, let me tell you that...
Here's the thing.
I'm going to be quick.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm going to be quick. First of all, this cholera thing, it's been blown out of proportion. The way that I've seen, because I came back from Haiti 4 days ago. The way that they're saying it in America, that's not the way the cholera has been. That's one thing. The second thing is, people have got to understand what's been going down in Haiti. Now, a country, a small island, 250, if I'm wrong, correct me, okay, 1,000 square feet, okay, a little island, is having 6,333 NGOs, okay? Préval is not really running anything. The NGOs in Haiti are running stuff. So people got to understand that Préval is not failing. The NGOs have an agenda to kill the Haitian people, and that's why they're down there. Aristide was okay for us. We voted Aristide for president. They kick him out, and they gave us a bunch of government that is killing the people.
Okay.
If they want Haiti to get back to where Haiti should be, they have to, because I'm not asking for Aristide to come back as president. But what I'm saying is, there is really two political systems in Haiti. It's either you Toto Makout or you Lavalas. So if they really want to have the Haitian people form a group to run the country, and then after that run a general election where you can have the Toto Makout against the Lavalas, so we can have leader to lead this beautiful island.
Okay, I'm going to have
patient concern. Okay, okay. We should go back home.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you to leave that there. Quick responses. First, Mr. Leduc.
What happened yesterday for me is a partial failure because I don't know what's going to happen. It depends, as I just mentioned, on the behavior of the ad hoc coalition, what I call the college of the candidates. It depends on how they behave because Mr. Preval has a lot in his bag, a lot of tricks in his bag. I would really say that it's a failure of the international community and of Mr. Preval, what happened yesterday, because they fail to understand that you have to give a modicum of democracy, a representation to the people, for the continuity to take place. You cannot govern a country by telling the people that they have no democratic rights. What happened yesterday was a clear example of a president and of a political system that doesn't work, that are not connected in any way with the demands of the people. They just want to voice their rights to participate in the economy and political system of Haiti. Just give them a modicum of it, and then that continuity that you want to establish, maybe you'll have it.
Okay, Ms. Izili Dantor, do the NGOs, non-governmental organizations, have a disproportionate amount of political influence in Haiti, and is the cholera outbreak inflated in news reports here?
Second question I can say, I don't think it's inflated, I think it's distorted. With regards to the elections, you know, I think there's a double standard in America. I think that Obama just denounced the recent elections in Burma as neither free or fair because it didn't include the most popular party, yet he is spending money to maintain a system in Haiti where the largest political party, Famille-Lavalas, is excluded and has been in every election since President Aristide was ousted in 2004. I agree with your caller that in what folks don't understand, you either are part of that Tonton Macoute Duvalieris folks who actually want to use the assets of the country for foreigners, or you are trying to, in some ways, use the assets of the countries the way Jean-Jacques Dessalines wanted them to be used, and that is to elevate the standards of living of the masses of the people. The fraud in Haiti didn't start yesterday. It started on February 29, 2004, and until that fraud is righted, we are always going to be living in a situation in Haiti where the masses are excluded and you have puppet governments. The issue at the moment is that the NGOs, and there's 16,000 NGOs, more per capita, not charitable organizations in Haiti than anywhere else in the world. Yet you will go to Congress, to the UN, and they will say, we have sent Haiti millions of dollars. Oh, we have sent Haiti billions of dollars. I want the folks listening to my voice to understand. Someone just said this, and I'm going to repeat it. Jeff, one of our folks said, you know, when you take money from your right hand and you put it in your left hand, and then you look at Haitians and say, why are you still poor? Basically, the United States takes money from its right hand, and it gives it to all the NGOs. They use it for their administrative expenses. They use it to live it off in Haiti. They do not use it. As a matter of fact, we all know that of the billions of dollars collected since the 10 months of the earthquake, less than a third, 30% of it has been used to help the people of Haiti. And so that's what's happening. Money doesn't go to Haitians. That's why they are in the positions that they are. The NGOs have, the United States weakens the Haitian government with coup d'etats and with privatization schemes and with ethnic cleansing schemes, and then they fill in the gap with NGOs who come in and take over so-called state functions, but doing nothing for the people of Haiti. Mm. So, my final point with respect to all of this is that this confused line of accountability after the coup in Haiti, it's no mistake, it's no error, it's a shield to mask what the international community is doing in Haiti, because they are the ones running the show.
Okay, let's take another question. Good afternoon, you're on the air. Hello. Hello, you're on the air. Going once.
Yes, hello.
Yes, please turn your radio down or off.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi. My question is for Izili Dantor. I was wondering, as Haitians, what can we do you know, because, you know, I feel powerless because most Haitians, you know, they go by the party line that, you know, we're somehow not able to run ourselves, or we're not able, you know, whereas, you know, when Haitians come here to America, we're very successful lawyers, doctors, and professionals, but we're looked on as, you know, people, because just the other day at my job, there was a gentleman who told me, you know, that those people, you know, referring to the Haitian people, you know, that we're, you know, we're unable to do anything, that, you know, we're unable to run our government.
Mm-hmm. So your question, sir, is?
Well, my question is, what can we do to, you know, as Haitians here, what is the best thing for us to do?
Okay, we have that question. We're also up against the clock. So we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll take some additional questions. Ms. Ezeli Dantor, you have that question. You're up first when we return after the break. The number 212-209-2900. This is WBAI New York. It is now 30 minutes after the hour. Stay with us. This is actually the music of Sweet Mickey we were listening to there, Michel Martelly and the voice talking about peace and tranquility and the situation getting worse. That was Jean-Claude Duvalier. So thank you very much, Michael G. Haskins, who manages to find these things. I have no idea where he does it, how he does it, but he does. Ms. Ezeli Dantor, you had a question on the table just before we went to the break. The gentleman's question to you was, what does the Haitian community here do, given the political situation on the ground in Haiti and the image of the Haitian people abroad?
Exactly. I think the image, the narrative is the first thing that Haitian Americans can actually do something about. If we change the metaphor, if we change the narrative, we can change the poverty that's happening in Haiti. Number one, and I run, for those who don't know, an organization called the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. We have a very, very big presence, both in on the internet, pushing for the counter-colonial narrative. So Haitian Americans who are looking to actually participate in the process of changing the paradigm in Haiti could come and join our network and learn not only the history and the non-colonial narrative, which is the first thing. Because if young men and women, first I want to thank the caller for the question, if Haitians actually can defend themselves against the bombardment of lies and half-truths of the mainstream media, that would help the Haitians in Haiti, because the Haitians in Haiti stand in and they resist. If they had not resisted, I would not exist. I would not be here educated as a lawyer who can stand and defend the Haitian people. I exist because folks without an education in Haiti have stood up against empire for 200 years. So the first thing we have to understand is that, as I said, U.S. aid and U.S. money and U.S. donor money is not going to develop Haiti, that the money that actually helps Haiti is the money that is sent to the from the diaspora, and that's $2 billion per year. What mm-hmm. we need to do is that money is being diluted by the NGOs and the Haitian oligarchy because of their monopolies on everything in Haiti. So, for instance, you have, instead of, for instance, right now what we're asking Haitian Americans to do particularly, we have a policy statement that we sent to President Obama when he became president, and that policy statement has certain things that we have asked for. One of the things we've asked for and have fought for 7 years, which we do have now, is the temporary protective status. for mm-hmm. so that there's no Haitians now being deported into Haiti, and that had been happening for a long, long time. Those are the things that Haitians can do. Agricultural policy of America brings famine to Haiti. Americans here can do not go to Haiti, we say. We say specifically don't go to Haiti. If you want to help Haitian, go to Washington, have them stop these policies that are destroying Haitian manufacture, that support the Haitian oligarchy and their subcontractors, where they say that the only thing that's important in terms of Haitians is to earn 25 cents an hour for assembly plants. So there's no workers' rights, there's no health, there's no public sector jobs, there's no health care, there's no, so that we want Haitians and Haitian government to be able to subsidize with the assets of the country and invest in Haitian people, invest in water treatment plants, sewage treatment plants, roads, public sector jobs, health care, education, and our own self-determination. To do that, we must lift the boot of the United States policymakers off of the Haitian people's necks. And that's what Haitian Americans can actually do.
Okay.
That's what Americans can do to help Haiti.
Okay. Here's what we'll do now. We're going to take a couple of questions in a cluster because we're fighting the clock here. It's 36 minutes after the hour. And we can take some of your questions for our guests, Ezelie Dantor, who is president of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network, and Roger Leduc, who is a Haitian community activist and broadcaster. 212-209-2900. So we'll take a couple of questions in a cluster and then get one response to each of those questions from each of our guests. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Question.
Good afternoon, Hugh, and to your guest.
Yes.
My question to your guest is, what has happened to the Haitian community? Where is the Haitian people's mass group or movement taken to the street? Why is it when the Haitian people was accused of being a carrier of HIV/AIDS? So many Haitians took to the street. I was one of those who marched across the bridge with the Haitian community. Where are they? I haven't seen anybody. I heard anything. Are you going to sit here in the States and take this like it is? Where is the movement? Where are you taking to the streets? What's happening?
Okay, excellent question. Thank you. 212-209-2900. Good afternoon. You are up next. Hello. Please turn your radio down or off. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. What's your question?
Yes, good afternoon. Great show, and congratulations to those two guests that we have, especially Ezelie Dantor, and I forgot the other guy's name.
Mr. Roger Leduc.
Mr. Roger Leduc, thank you very much for doing such a good work for the Haitian community. My question is for Ms. Ezelie Dantor. My question is, what makes those candidates think that, you know, in a climate that is so miserable, that it was possible to have election?
Okay, good. Excellent question. 212-209-2900. We're going to take one or two more of these questions, and then we'll get a response. So we're going to take some more questions for the cluster. Good afternoon, talk back. You are up next.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
My question for the lady. Did she think these people in Haiti now who are running for president, they will be able to sit together to discuss things to develop the country at this moment?
I'm not sure I understand that. What do you mean? Would they be able to sit together?
Because the Haitian government, them between them, they never could be sitting down on the round table for them to make a discussion according to what will be happening to develop the country. They never did that. Even that the senator, the deputies, the president enthusiast, they never sit down to do it. There's only one person give the order must be done, and that's it.
Okay, I think I got it. Let's take another one. Good afternoon, talk back. You are up next. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on. Question.
Yes. I was looking online today, and they were talking about how, you know, a lot of the candidates stepped up and actually asked to annul the elections. My question is this. What happened prior to that? Why couldn't they all get together and create an atmosphere to where the entire Haitian community and the people can come and understand that our leaders are really, really going to be behind us? I mean, when the earthquake happened, you didn't hear or see any of these people. You can't just come out and ask to be elected when an election is going to happen, only so most of them just go and thief the country. When are they going to get together, come up with a plan that makes sense for the Haitian people?
Okay, fine. So we're going to take all of those questions in a cluster. We've got about maybe 6 minutes remaining, so we're going to give each of our guests 3 minutes to respond. A lot of the focus, of course, has been quite understandably on the presidential candidates, but there were also elections for the Congress, for the equivalent of the House of Representatives. There were elections for the legislature as well. We'll start with Ezelie Dantor, who is President of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. Ms. Dantor, your response is first.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all the questions directed to me. I want to, you know, there's so many things that I could say, so I would invite those who are interested really to go to our website and our blog and read some of our information. With respect to what makes the candidates think that the circumstances were ripe for in an election, I think that needs to be put straight to the OAS and the UN and those folks who actually forced this election, because many grassroots that I represent came out and asked for these elections to be postponed, said that we had a crisis in Haiti in various manners, you know, with the earthquake, with the almost 98% of the rubble from the earthquake is still on the ground. And folks basically said it doesn't make sense to hold elections now. The money for those elections should go towards finding permanent shelter or clean drinking water or stopping this cholera epidemic. That's number one. So I think the blame is that the UN, like I think Mr. LeDuc says, the UN and the international community have been running Haiti, and they want these elections in order to continue to legitimize this plan they have for Haiti. And I think this will dovetail into the second question, which asks, you know, can there be unity among the candidates to change the paradigm in Haiti? That question presupposes that Haitians are actually running Haiti, which Haitians are not. And in our opinion at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership, our assessment is that on April 2010, the deputies and the senators of Haiti basically divested themselves of their power and gave it to an international committee. Today we are under legal protectorate, and it is run by an organization that is headed by Clinton and the Prime Minister of Haiti and 14 other foreigners. It's called the Interim Haiti Reconstruction Committee. The commission, and under that legal protectorate, the parliament, all of this charade and farce of an election means almost zero, because there's so much little power that the senators and the deputies are going to have, because they have already, based on these laws that were created by Washington to formulate this interim reconstruction commission. Mm-hmm. That is co-headed by Clinton, they will decide what is the future of Haiti. The only power that the Haitians have is that whoever is elected president will have a power of veto of whatever this foreign unelected body, which is made up of, it's a very non-transparent entity, anti-democratic party. This is what we call, the results of disaster capitalism, where a disaster is used to push through policies that in normal time would not happen. This disaster is being used to push through these elections, mm-hmm. these unfair elections. It had pushed through this interim commission. So
one minute more, by the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happens? Okay, the only thing that whoever becomes president in Haiti right now has is a veto right. They have no right to decide how Haiti is going to look like. So if Haitian Americans are concerned about sovereignty, they first have to take it back from the international community.
Ezelie Dantor is president of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. Ms. Dantor, I want to thank you very much. It's always great having you on the program. Tell listeners where they can access your website.
Thank you. It's ezilidanto.com, E-Z-I-L-I-D-A-N-T-O. Most of our most everyday things are going to be found on the blog. Just Google three words, ezilidanto blog. It's on Open Salon. We have an archive that goes back to 2004 about stuff you will not hear about from any other place except from the Haitian Lawyers Leadership. We talk about Haiti's riches, what the UN is doing behind this benevolence, this false benevolence in terms of Haiti's oil, Haiti's resources. We talk about that there's less violence in Haiti than in the countries that are now come to give us stability.
Thank you very much indeed, Ezili Danto. Thank you. Now, Mr. Roger, thank you very much. Roger Leduc, you're going to have the last word on the program this afternoon. Quite a bit there, as you know. You can take it in any order you like.
Okay, I'll just start by saying the obvious. People don't say it, but it's the obvious. You need a revolution in Haiti. There is no way to go around this. The last few months have shown what we are stacked against. Cholera, Thomas as a hurricane, and it's something that's going to recur every year. We don't have the superstructure, social, governmental, institutional, and we do not have the infrastructure. So what it is needed there is a complete change in governments from Haiti. And it's clear that the powers that be are not willing to include the masses of the people in the changes in Haiti. You've had the same elite running Haiti for 200 years, and they have failed without the people. Why? The masses of Haiti are the only one who have interest in changes in Haiti, because the elite, they make the money to the misery of the Haitian people. This needs to be changed. What happened in the election yesterday was not just that people said that there was no ballots, that there was logistical problems. A lot of the times people went into the electoral bureau, the offices, and just destroyed them. That's an expression of, I don't even believe in these elections because I'm not included. The Provisional Council has no representative of the people. It was quite chosen totally by Mr. Préval. So these are not my elections. And as long as we do not unite, for this gentleman who called who said, where are the Haitian people? The Haitian people are in Haiti. They showed you what the will, what the desire is yesterday. We have to respond. And the way to respond is to start a unity movement against two main things. First, for Haiti to regain its sovereignty. I know it's a hard pill to swallow, but we have no other choice. We have to regain our sovereignty. Assistance and cooperation, yes, but never domination. We are not going to give Haiti up. We are in path of becoming irrelevant as a nation and as a society unless we respond very quickly. We have a decadent political and economic superstructure. We have to do away with that. We need a party or a political formation that can talk about retaking Haiti with cooperation and assistance, and talk to the people and include them, organize them, education, healthcare, infrastructure, and the rest. Our group, CACOLA, a committee to support the struggle in Haiti, Haiti Liberty, the group of 77 in Haiti, We were against this election from the start. The reason these candidates are against this election today is because Préval had promised them things, and they realized, according to the Nouvelle Liste of yesterday, they realized that Préval had a plot. They thought Préval had a plot to have Jude Celestin win the elections in the first turn by 52%, so that there would not be a runoff, and that they were going to invest the streets with the partisans of Celestin and Préval, and ask the people to be in front of a fait accompli that they won the election. So that's why they went and had this ad hoc coalition, because they were about to lose the elections, not because they want Haiti to move forward. We want Haiti to move forward. We need unity for sovereignty and unity to make the masses move up. No Haiti without the masses. No Haiti with domination from the United States, France, and Canada under the guise of the United Nations.
Thank you very much, Mr. Roger Le Duc. Is there any way that listeners can find out what it is that you're doing, what the kind of work that Kakola is doing right now?
You can call Kakola through 917-251-6057, and you can continue.